It is a joy to be with you this morning on this rainy, wet day, but the fellowship here is warm and dry. I do want to offer a trigger warning for my sermon. There is a brief mention of childhood abuse. Let us pray. Loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be holy and acceptable to you, O God, our rock and redeemer. Amen. School's out, and the school bus is packed and humming with childish energy, the chirpy voices of grade schoolers occasionally punctuated by the lower voices of some of the older boys. A din so loud that our poor bus driver, old Izzy, a retired farmer, would often turn off his hearing aid so that he could have some peace. Suddenly, everything is still, and the children stop mid-sentence as the bus pulls up to a railroad crossing. The door creaks open, and the driver strains to catch the rumble of a freight train. Hearing nothing, the door closes, and the bus bumps over the tracks, and the noise of the children soon sweeps back through the bus, delivering us safely to our parents, and snacks, and games, and homework. I grew up in a rural area, and unmarked railroad crossings were part of my life, and they were taken seriously. Because there were no lights and no bars to block the tracks, drivers had to be quite alert. It caused endless anxiety for the parents of new teenaged drivers, especially after a young girl at a neighboring school was killed at one of those unmarked crossings. Moments of physical transition, when we move from place to place, are recognized places of vulnerability. We teach young children to hold hands with an adult when they cross the street, but other kinds of crossings are also treacherous. Relational crossings, developmental crossings, spiritual crossings, life transitions. Some are marked, but many are unmarked, even by ritual. These two leave us feeling vulnerable and exposed. At a conference some years ago, my friend Joey, who had recently retired after more than 30 years as a seminary professor, expressed the loss and frustration of his crossing into retirement. Everyone acts like I should be happy and celebrating something new in my life, but I just feel sad. The old identity is gone, and something new is still taking shape. This is the moment marked in the scripture text from Joshua for God's people, Israel. They are in the midst of a crossing, both a physical crossing with some danger involved, but also other kinds of crossings. They have a new leader and a new mission in a new land and a new identity emerging out of the wilderness. In the midst of all of this vulnerability, God draws near to Israel, reminding them of God's presence, reassuring them, orienting them in the midst of change. God is still with them. One commentator describes the entire book of Joshua as being a book about boundaries, movement across boundaries, establishing new boundaries, reinforcing boundaries. And many of these boundaries have to do with moving into the promised land, but they also have to do with identity and what it means to be God's people, and how Israel remembers and describes their experience of coming into God's land of promise. Today's text in chapter 3 describes a significant crossing. As the people of Israel cross over the Jordan River into the land that God has promised them. It follows an account of the leadership shift from Moses to Joshua and a recognizance mission to Jericho, where the Israelite spies are rescued by Rahab. The actual account of the Jordan crossing is a confusing one for us in terms of narrative flow. Different versions of the events exist side by side in the text, creating a kind of sense of dislocation for us as readers as we try to piece together a coherent account. At the outset of our text for today, Israel is on the verge of entering the land. It lies just beyond the Jordan River. We know that this land is already inhabited by others, and their entry will certainly be contested. Their longtime leader, Moses, is no longer with them. There is a full generation of people who cannot remember a time before Moses was leading them, and there is also a generation of people who know nothing beyond the wilderness, where they have learned, slowly and painfully at times, to trust God and God's chosen leaders among them. On top of all these internal and identity-censored crossings, they must also contend with a literal crossing of the river, which the text tells us is flooded beyond its usual boundaries. These circumstances heighten Israel's dependence on God. They cannot make this crossing without God's presence among them. Crossing through water has been transformative for Israel before. One scholar notes that water passages frame their journey from nationhood, marking their crossing from slavery in Egypt to freedom, and now an end to their nomadic wilderness wandering. It is not by accident that the transformation of baptism happens through water. Water evokes birth and cleansing, as well as danger, drowning, and death. Israel's journey has been vulnerable and complicated. Crossing the river now signals that they are on the verge of something new, something unknown, something that is still taking shape. To deepen anxiety around this present crossing, the Jordan River is in a flooded state, it has overflowed its banks, and likely this means that the currents are moving fast. How will all the people make it through this crossing? Joshua's leadership may be tested. The people need assurance that God is still with them in the midst of the sweeping changes of leadership, identity, and location. They cannot make it through this perilous crossing without God's presence, and neither can we. In times of transition and change, we are vulnerable, open to potential growth, new life, or death and destruction. When we are in transition, going back to the way things were before is not possible. Either we move forward, or we die, or we may die in the trying. This experience of perilous crossing is the story of the alcoholic who has hit rock bottom. He is ready for change. He cannot go back to drinking, or he will lose everything. It is the situation of a young mother with flashbacks to childhood abuse. Once the abuse is named and brought into the light, she cannot and will not go back to living with secrets and shame. It is the circumstances of a family whose life has revolved around the care of a sick grandmother. When she dies, what comes next after the funeral is over and the casseroles are put away and the guests have all gone home? It is also the story of countless other transitions, some celebrated and noted, others unmarked, except within our hearts and souls. Even good transitions can hurtle us across perilous waters into uncharted territory. Wedding celebrations, retirement, the birth of a much-wanted child, a new job, a geographic move, a new school, a spiritual rebirth. Sometimes we see these transitions coming from miles away, like the thin ribbon of the Jordan on the horizon. Other times we find ourselves suddenly submerged, in over our heads. Not only individuals and families experience these challenges of change and transition, but also whole communities, congregations, institutions. Imagine a congregation dwindling in size, having to make difficult decisions about their resources, their building, their staff needs. They cannot keep going as they are, but trying something new feels terrifying. We cannot make it through these pivotal crossings alone. We need the abiding presence of our God, who promises to be the same strong presence yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And today's text reminds us that we can trust God. Neither Israel nor we are left alone as we experience difficult crossings in our lives. The same God who called their ancestors and has accompanied them for generations is still with Israel. God will never leave them, and God's presence offers assurance and comfort amidst this crossing to a new beginning in the land of promise. Several times in the opening chapters of Joshua, God promises to be with Joshua as God was with Moses. While they do not have the same leader, they have the same God. God promises to exalt Joshua, to grant him authority among the people. God tells Joshua to instruct the priests to bear the Ark of the Covenant and to carry the Ark into the river, to tell the people that the living God will go with them, and across the waters, God will go with them into the new land ahead. God will protect them and drive away any people or forces who threaten them. The priests stand, shoulders straining under the weight of the ark, the swollen river lapping against their toes, strong currents beginning to pull at the hems of their robes. As the men step into the river, the waters are suddenly siphoned back, sweeping to a heap on the side, acting more like soil or sand than water. The waters are wholly cut off. This is the sign of the living God among them, the same God who cut off the waters of the Red Sea and ended their enslavement to Egypt, is with them here, now, at a new beginning in a land of promise and plenty. The priests walk on dry ground to the middle of the river, while the whole people of Israel cross behind them on the now dry riverbed. All the people, their children, their young men, their young women, their elders, none of them were there at the first crossing, but they have heard the stories, and now they experience the power and the abiding presence of the living God once more in their midst. When they are most vulnerable, the power of God sustains them and brings them through into the land that God has promised them. Just as God goes with Israel through the danger and disorientation of crossing into the promised land, God also goes with us through our many transitions. God is present in the journey of a trans woman. Matt struggled for years with a body that didn't match who they truly were and carried this as a shameful secret. They tell family and friends, and their truth is met with love and support, but also some fear and uncertainty. With the care of loved ones and a counselor, they begin their transition. Accompanied by the love and presence of God, they begin to navigate the world in new ways. They share their story with friends and coworkers and begin to experience healing and wholeness as they continue their transitional journey. About a year into her journey, she celebrates with her church as she reaffirms her baptism with the congregation and her new name, Maria. God sticks with us through every transition, every change, every new or scary situation. God is already there at your new school, at your new job. God walks with you as you retire or as you care for an aging loved one. In our vulnerability and our fear, God says, "I am with you." Even death and loss cannot separate us from the love of God. The living God stays with us, offering comfort that death cannot separate us or our loved ones from the loving presence of God. God has seen our loved ones into the promised land and abides with us too. Like the waters of the Jordan, life does not stand still, and the living God calls us to venture forward, experiencing the wonder of God's presence and God's provision. The same God who brought Israel through is also with us, making God's presence known in our midst. As we worship together today, The Spirit moves among us, connecting us to the church across time and space, and empowering us to accompany others in Jesus' name. Together, we remember and experience the new, the presence of God with the people of God. Amen.